The title of the message this morning, as we look at 2 Peter 2 verse 18, is this: vain deceit. Vain deceit. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, vanity, vanity. All is vanity. Everything of man is vanity. Everything of man is vanity. It's vain. It's vain. And it is indeed useless. It came across my path a week or so ago, a disgusting video of a so-called church. This is what's going on, dear friends, in the world of what calls itself the church today. A disgusting so-called church service. An apostate church. A false church. Run and conducting the services were women. It was all women conducting it. And it gets worse. They presented before the people that they were there celebrating whatever sex or gender anyone cares to be. And worse still, a little boy was brought to the front. Too shy to say it himself, but apparently that's what he wanted to say. He wanted to be known as the girl Phoenix. And the mother proudly addressed the so-called congregation with this despicable child abuse. It's child abuse. And this deceit is going on all around us. It's going all around us. And such teachings, whatever those teachings are, whatever those falsehoods are, they are blaspheming the way of truth. They are blaspheming the Lord of glory. They are blaspheming Him who is the truth. Him who is the Word, the Logos, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is being blasphemed. His name is being dragged through the mire by those who profess His name. And we must stand against it. False teachers and preachers, having not been sent from God, let this be clear, having not been sent from God, there is no grey. It's black or white. There is no grey area. There is no middle ground. It is either truth or lie. Truth or lie. Not truth or dare. Truth or lie. Anything else is of the evil one. Not sent from God, such ones promise, nonetheless, they promise salvation. They promise a way of salvation. Of their understanding, of their imagination, which is far from it. It's far from it. Actually, it gives those under the sound of it, those who follow its way, it causes them to be further and further in the bondage of sin. For that which they promise gives nothing of the sort. False teachers promise freedom, when in reality the followers, they remain in bondage and under the dominion of sin and depravity. And yet, as we consider this, as we consider these words of the Apostle Peter here, don't forget, when he says these words, He is not saying these things might come to pass. He's not saying even beware that they might come to pass. He doesn't say try and stop them coming to pass even. He says there were false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies. This is a certainty. You see, those who do not have a sovereign Lord God, those whose Saviour is not the sovereign Lord Jesus who sits upon his throne, directing all things, they despair at what goes on. Now, I know we sometimes use that terminology when we are frustrated when we see what's going on. We say, I despair. But we shouldn't absolutely despair. Because God is ruling. And when we see these things come to pass, we see God's sovereign decree coming to pass. And it should cheer our souls. That the one in whom we trust, everything of his word that we read is true and faithful. Even as we read earlier on, do you not remember when I was still with you, I told you these things? I told you these things. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, the day of the Lord, will not come unless the falling away comes first. The spirit of Antichrist must come. That is the teaching of the Word of God. Now, firstly, as we look at verse 18, and for some reason in the providence of God, I've known great struggle to prepare this message for a couple of weeks. But God works all things according to his plan and purpose. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh. We see again the nature and the manner of the teachers who blaspheme the truth of Jesus Christ. The apostle has been opening up here that which his sure word of prophecy, as he says in chapter 1, the sure word of prophecy. This was a sure word of prophecy. You want to find prophets? You find the last prophets here in the New Testament. The sure word of prophecy here, he has unpackaged it. He has put flesh on the bones. He has described the things to look for. And the manner of the teachers who blaspheme the truth of Jesus Christ by there being waterless wells and clouds wandering around without the refreshing water. Without the refreshing water of life in the gospel, as we saw last time. Without that which they promise, giving nothing, promising much, and we see today speaking so much with no substance whatsoever. But today, another characteristic, Peter says they would be marked out by warning his readers and warning us to beware of is something that at first would attract you to them. It would attract us to them. They speak well. They speak well. It's amazing when you hear people talking and they say about this individual and that individual, especially in the religious realm, in the Christian world, and they, one of the first things they say is, oh, they're a good speaker. Now, I haven't got a problem with that per se, but for that to be the first and foremost noticeable trait, I would be suspicious of. They are a good speaker. But what about the substance? What about what they actually say? Words are very, very, very captivating. Speakers are very, very captivating. Why do you think so many people were almost bewitched by the Third Reich? Do you really think that that just happened? Adolf Hitler was an amazing speaker. Otherwise, he wouldn't have captivated those audiences. Speakers can be very, very, very deceitful. We're to beware, to beware. Because a good speaker can so easily lead you astray. We read specifically, they speak great swelling words. Now the meaning here is of a boasting, overswollen, even pompous words. Now you would think that when you have someone almost boasting in their words, almost pompous and contemptuous in their words, you'd think people would turn away at once from them. But that's not always the case. Now, though this be the case, and with so many people in various circumstances, if one speaking gives off what is like an air of superiority and intellect, they easily almost spellbind the hearers into thinking, well, they just must know what they're talking about. They just must be speaking the truth. They must know what they're talking about because of their great ability. They are charismatic. Now, not as the charismatic church movement, I don't mean, which has the overemphasis on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's not what I'm talking about here. Though some of their leaders are very eloquent. What I speak of here is a charismatic eloquence of speech which draws attention to themselves. Just turn on any of these. If you're cursed to have satellite TV, I haven't got it. But you could, if you've got satellite TV, you could just turn on any channel, can't you? Find a God slot, so called. What is that defining mark of these people? These people are just, they've got the audience in this massive auditorium in the palm of their hand. They're charismatic. They speak well. They're not dour in any way. They draw attention to themselves. But see how the... And that's what the Word of God is saying here. By this being empty words. By them speaking great swelling words. It's drawing the attention to themselves. That's what's been drawn out by the apostle here. But see how the parallel portion of God's word on this very subject that we have in Jude. In Jude verse 16 puts it, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaks great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Is that what Peter says here? "By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words." Admiration. Admiration. Admiration instead of admonition in the word. You can mock out a false teacher as he draws attention upon himself and his teaching, his doctrine, dare I say, his book, his words, rather than to draw attention to Christ alone, to God and his word alone. Observe the contrast with the apostles of Jesus Christ. There is a great contrast. There is a great contrast. Some of these, namely Paul, could have done the opposite. Could have pointed the hearers to himself. He could have talked most false teachers into knots with his knowledge. But we read in 1 Corinthians 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God." Why does he say that? Well, he will open that up in the next couple of verses. But why do you think he says that? Because you see, the wisdom and the speech of man, the excellence of man's speech, is not God's speech. It's not God's word. It's tainted with sin. "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And here he confirms how seriously he took the preaching of the word. "That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." He also says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." A bondservant does not draw attention to himself. But you see these guys today, are they living as bondservants as they make demands upon the congregation? "Oh, the Lord has told me I need a four-wheel drive car for the service of the Lord." What about that deceiver of Satan, Copeland, in America, and all his other cohorts with his no doubt dyed black hair and their private jets? I wonder what words the Apostle Peter would use to describe them. Dogs. You see, Kenneth Copeland, the name is, by the way. You see, the difference between false preachers and teachers and those from God, those of the truth. For how can anyone, I don't care who is, how can anyone preach Christ and him crucified with great swelling words? For a start, who can truly, with great words, tell you of the wonder of the cross? From the days when the Lord taught the apostles and they preached the gospel and they gave the word to the early church fathers, throughout the ages where the lights even shone in the darkness of the Middle Ages, and the great awakening in the Reformation, and ever since then, throughout all ages, there has not lived a single man who's been able to truly, by words, by great words, by persuasive words, by words of explanation, to mine the depths of the glory of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's beyond man. It's beyond man's understanding. You cannot preach Christ and him crucified with great swelling words. For the word instructs us that this cannot be. Not if it be the power of God unto salvation. Can't be. Can't be. Never can be. Here's what the apostle says in 1 Corinthians 1. You know these words well, but don't lose sight of them. Verse 17. "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect." Now, I know people will say, well, By the great words and by the great abilities of people in their churches, they're filling up their seats. Loads of people are making decisions for Christ. They're growing. That doesn't mean that they're all sheep, does it? The Lord Jesus taught us about the wheat and the tares. Many tares growing up amongst the wheat. Many goats amongst the sheep. And we cannot tell, as the Lord does. For the Lord knows them that are his. But he says here, lest the cross of Christ should have been made of no effect. I think I'd prefer to trust, if I trust in a man, I'd prefer to trust the Apostle Paul in this rather than any seminar someone wants to lay on, which says that we found a new way of preaching Christ. I think I'd rather trust his apostles who had the mind of Christ. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And I must read that again because this is important. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, not to those who perish. The translation that says to those who perish is too weak. It doesn't just mean who perish, it's who are perishing, who are not the elect of God, but to us who are being saved. It is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You see, the words of false preachers are vain and empty. And there's many things which for a season seem quite good. There's many things in this life we could say we enjoy for a season, but they lack what? They lack that which endures. They wear out. We can even look to experiences, times, good times even, and say, well, those were good times, but then say that they had no depth in them. They had no endurance in them. The words of false teachers are vain and empty, like a folly. That's what it's speaking of here, like a folly. You know what a folly is? It's some kind of a strange structure that someone might build. And it has no purpose. And it's weird, it doesn't look right. There's no wisdom in it. Secondly, we see the false teacher, being not the servant of God, is always aiming to catch people, as a hunter seeking his kill. The words proclaimed in a false gospel are aimed at entrapping the hearers. That's what the word says here. For they speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh. They allure, they entrap. Entrapping the hearers after the way which appeals, by the way, to the fleshly, the human nature and will. False gospels, false teachers will apply to the human will and desire. Like any trap, that which leads away from the truth of God's word is alluring. It's alluring. As the word of God says here, they entice, they allure, they entice. This speaking of a beguiling, to deceive and delude. But be not shocked, be not surprised. God has given over those who love unrighteousness to believe the lie, to deluding spirits, to a strong delusion. Jesus promised that many of the false way would appear, saying, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:4-5. As we said, false teachers, false messages, false gospels coming is not some tragedy coming upon the church of Jesus Christ. Oh no. It's the Lord. It's the Lord confounding the enemy. So-called prophets have come and in denying that Jesus is the Son of God, denying the atonement he made for the sin of his people and the full justification received by faith by those called by his grace, being the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John 4. And multitudes are entrapped with the folly of the beguiling, deluding religions of man. And sadly, the spirit of Antichrist, even as Jesus foretold, the spirit of Antichrist entered the mainline church of Jesus Christ. Namely, what was soon to become, centuries later, Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy. Becoming as the Pharisees in Christ's day in Mark 7, well did Isaiah prophesy against you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honours me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You see, God was not taken by surprise by any of this. It was his sifting. In many areas of false teaching, which entraps the followers, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit warns. Now the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. That's how serious it is. Thirdly and lastly, behold what false teachers direct their traps of deceit towards. The Word of God says here, they entice through the lusts of the flesh. Now, when you use that term lust, do not, and you hear that term, do not be as the worldly, who think the term lust refers to the sensual and the sexual only. Those are false. The Word of God says the lusts of the flesh. And so don't be fooled, for the lust of flesh involves anything, any aspect of the flesh, anything of the human nature, desiring things against the will of God. That's the lust of the flesh. Anything. So that shuts every mouth up, doesn't it? As God said, let God be true and every man a liar. False gospels will always appeal to the will and draw people after their way. They're going to offer some bait. Which draws them away. And it's always after that which seems good to them personally. The bait being the promise of what the human desire is. Now the true gospel is likened. Yes, it is likened. We acknowledge. It is likened, as the Lord says in one of his parables of the dragnet. It is likened to a net let down into the sea, drawing many kinds of fish. But that is not the same. You see, it is the Lord who is attributed. It is God the Father who is attributed to doing the drawing when the true gospel is proclaimed. The drawing unto Jesus. Him saying, no one can come to the Father except the Father which sent me draw him. And I raise him up at the last day. But there are various ways in which false gospels pander to the fleshly desires of man. These may be the excusing of particular sins, or to attract the fleshly desires. And you may have never heard this before, you should have done, but you may hear this for the first time. The fleshly lust and desires of self-righteousness. That is a lust of the flesh. We should look at these designs of the false teacher in greater detail next time, God willing. But see now that you can only know yourself to be free from God's wrath, to not be under his judgment, if you be living, walking by the gospel rule. The gospel rule. Not your rule. Not your righteousness. Christ's righteousness. We should be looking at that a bit more this evening. Come and hear that this evening. Come and hear of Christ and his righteousness. For nothing you do in your flesh, no teaching that tells you can live after the flesh your own way, even according to religious deeds, can ever be acceptable to a holy God. This is what God's word tells us in Romans 8. See the impotence of the flesh. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's everything according to the flesh. And especially here in context, according to the works of religious law and deeds, which do not make you righteous. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You see, by the law is the knowledge of sin, the condemnation of sin. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If your faith is totally in and of Christ, then you are of the truth. For nothing you do in your flesh, no teaching that tells you you can live after the flesh your own way, even according to the religious deeds, can ever be acceptable to God. Nothing of the flesh. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. And so if you think you can live self-righteously, you're against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I would plead to those who would seek to be making themselves acceptable to God by what they do, by what you think you know, even by a belief in Jesus that you think that you have of yourself. is no good. You must trust wholly and only upon the crucified and risen and glorified Lord Jesus. As a believer, to close, as a believer, be on your guard. Be on your guard against deceitful teachers. Be careful who you listen to and what you read. You see, the Apostle John says many false Christs have gone out into the world. Many false books, writings, recordings have gone out into the world, in the world we live. Let no one, the Apostle tells us, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And so as those who once had our conversation amongst the children of disobedience, let us walk in the light, even as he is in the light. And let us not heed to deceptive words of vain deceit, but may our delight always be in that which is the true word of God in the gospel. Amen.